You know, the Lord delights in His people. The Bible says to rejoice before Him. Sing unto the Lord. Amen? Rejoice before Him. Dance before the Lord. Even with the timbrel and the harp. We've been playing guitar. Amen? We've got the tambourine going here. Hey, if it's biblical, I'm all in. How about you? I believe the Bible. The Bible's the Word of God, and it works. Truth is truth. Hallelujah. Truth is not what I think it is. Truth remains. Amen. It's forever settled in heaven. God's word is. Therefore, I just need to get into agreement with that, into alignment with the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This thing is not based upon opinion, you know. Either it's true or it's false. It's either real or it's not. Hallelujah. God had to bring me to a place in my life where I understood that I was lost, that I was hopeless, that I was depraved, I was corrupt, I was a mess. And it wasn't until I got to that place where I understood that I could be saved. We have to know that we're sinners. And Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws them. And you know, sometimes God is drawing people. God is tugging on their heart. God is calling them. God is wooing them. But they're not listening. And they're not listening because they're not listening to His servants either, the prophets. He's not listening to His ministers because they're going to do whatever they want to do because there is a spirit of rebellion. And we're born into rebellion. Amen. We're born rebellious. Let's face it. Anybody beside myself been rebellious? Anybody have any rebellious kids? That's our condition. That's our condition apart from Christ. There's one part of us that says, I will not submit. I will not listen. I will not do what this man tells me to do. But then there's another part, if you're born again, that says, I delight to do your will, O God. I want to do the will of God. If you don't have a desire in your heart to really live for God, then you're not saved. You need to get saved.
There you go. Amen.
If there's that desire, that drive in you that says, I want to live and love and serve like Jesus did, that's a sign His Spirit's within you. But if you have no passion, no drive, no desire of such, then you're not saved. And heaven will not be your home. Only those who have Christ in them are His people. If we do not have the Son of God, we do not have life. It's that simple. You must be born again. And if Christ is in you, you become a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And you become like a babe that is hungry, that is thirsty, that wants the sincere milk of the Word. You want to be in the Bible. You want to be in church. You want to give God praise. When you are truly a child of His, you cannot help but have a hunger and a desire for Him, just like a newborn babe would. And maybe there was a time in your life where that was the reality and no longer is the case. Then you need to get back. You need to get reconciled to God again. And if you've never really had that in you, that desire, that motivation in your heart to love, to serve, to bless, that's the heart of Jesus, you see. If you've never had that in you, then you don't belong to Him, and therefore you are not saved according to the Word of God. And you must get saved. You must be born again. Jesus said, no one will see the kingdom unless they're born again. I came to the place in my life where I understood that I was a mess. And God removed the veil from my eyes because I was so self-righteous. Even though I lived like the devil, I still thought I was a pretty good guy. And I should go to heaven. Until God removed the veil and began to show me who I really was. And I became ashamed and disgusted at what I saw. I became aware of how awful sin really is. And how desperate I became to get rid of that sin problem in my life, to get clear of that thing, to have my conscience purged and cleansed and those things removed, blotted out of my life. I became desperate before God and I cried out for mercy. I didn't cry out and say, God, look how good I am. I said, God, help me. God, have mercy on my soul. Save me, Jesus. Deliver me from myself. We've got to be saved. There's a lot of people, I believe, that think they're saved that are not. But Jesus made it very plain. He said, a tree is known by its fruit. So just because somebody tells you they're a Christian, I want to see Christ. I want to see the evidence. I want to see, where's the fruit? Show me the fruit. I'm not talking about the false fruit that people go around with a fake smile, knocking on doors. I'm talking about a life that is transformed, that is producing the love and the joy and the peace and the gentleness and the goodness and the self-control that is all the fruit of God in me. And Christ in you is the hope of glory. I want to see the fruit. Don't tell me you're Christian. Show me that you're a Christian. So many people run around with bumper stickers on their car. Somebody cuts them off in traffic and they'll give them the bird. Show me the fruit. It's a bluebird. I don't want to fake it until I make it, because you can't make it if you're faking it. We know how to act. Some people are good actors, even good actresses, you know. We know how to act like a Christian. We've learned how to do the Christian thing. We've studied it. We've practiced it. We've looked at it. We've observed it. Why do you do that? Well, that's because Christians do that. You're not acting like a Christian. You must become a Christian.
There you go. That's right.
And that means that Christ is in you.
Yes.
And you are a new creation.
Yes. Yes.
And if Christ is in you, you will have hunger, thirst.
That's right.
Because you will realize that no longer can you live apart from Him. You understand that my life depends on Him, because He is my source of life now. I died, and He now lives in me.
Hallelujah.
Christ in me, the hope of glory. Dying to ourselves that we might live in Christ. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. If Christ died for all, then all died. All have fallen short. All are lost apart from Him. But if Christ is in you, you become not just an improvement of the old.
Yep.
Not just an additional tape to get better.
Yep.
Self-help. Self-improvement technique. No, we must be changed. We must be transformed. God does that. It's a work of grace. It's not of us. But we have to come to the place of desperation and realization that I'm lost and I need God. And if maybe you've drifted away and you've gotten off course, well, God says, just come back. Get back in the race. Maybe you've fallen out for a season. It's time to get back in the race. Why? Because the finish line is coming. And at that finish line is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have our appointment. We have our day in court. And every knee will bow to Him of those things in heaven, those things on the earth, and those things under the earth. The devil's too. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that you are willing to pay the price that I deserve to pay. Folks, understand this. 8 souls were saved in Noah's day. From the entire earth, 8 souls were saved. And every one of those 8 souls were laborers together in building the ark, which represents Christ and His body. Who are we really living for? Who is really Lord of your life? Are you Lord of your life? Or is He truly Lord of your life? When He is Lord of my life, it means I'm no longer my own. I'm under new management, new ownership.
That's right.
And what He says, I do.
Yes.
Where He sends, I go.
Yes.
What He says to speak, I speak.
Yes.
What He shows me to do, I do, because He's Lord of my life. It's not about just showing up once in a while, occasionally on Sunday at church. It's important that we come to church. Amen. But it's about a life that is committed and submitted to the authority of God. I'm under His authority. And so therefore, it's no longer I. It's no longer centered in me. My life is centered in Christ. He is my life. He is the source of my life. He is my foundation. He is the reason why I live. Folks, if Jesus is not the reason you live, you need to examine yourself. Whether you're truly in the faith or not. If Christ is in you, His desires are in you. He is working in you both to will, even to desire. That's the sign, the fruit of a life in God. Don't just tell me you're a Christian.
Yep.
That's what God is saying. It's the fruit that brings pleasure to the Father. It is a person, a soul that is abiding in Him who is life. And those who abide in Him who is life, those who have Jesus at the center of it all, are the ones who bear the fruit of God and glorify the Father and make a difference in this world.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Not those who live for themselves. If you're just living for yourself, you're not saved. That's what James said. You show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, my life will manifest the reality that is Christ. There will be the fragrance of Christ. There will be the evidence, the fruit of God in my life. When you are planted in Him, when you are abiding in Him, you will bear good fruit. If you are the planting of the Lord, you will bear that type of fruit. You see, a lot of people come to church just to improve upon themselves. But God says the old is no good. You cannot put a new patch on an old garment. The old is no good. You've got to scrap the old. You've got to get rid of the old. You've got to say no to the old. You've got to crucify the old. And you've got to put on Christ. And you need to walk with Him in new life. And bear the fruit of God. And glorify the Father. And hear Him say in that day, well done, my good and faithful servant. Are we faithful? I want to be found faithful. I want to be found steady to the end. I want to hear Jesus say, well done. I want to love Him back. For all He's done for me that I don't deserve. I don't deserve, you don't deserve Jesus either. Amen?
That's right.
We don't deserve Him. But we want to love Him back because His Spirit's within us.
Yeah, we do.
And if we've drifted, we've gotten away, it's time to get recalibrated. It's time to get back to where you once walked. Once your first love, it's called. God, take us back to that old landmark. Where I make a new commitment and begin a fresh start. Help me find my direction. put a burden in my heart. Lord, take me back to that old landmark. That place where my world was full of love, full of Jesus, where everything was centered in Him. It wasn't about me. I'm just so thankful that I want to love God back. That's true worship. I say it often, but it's not about working for God. It's about walking with God. We can do things for God and completely miss God and not even have God. There are people who do things for God but don't have God. And if you don't have God, you don't have life. It's not of works. But works are the fruit and the evidence, true, of true faith. But not a means to faith. They are a result of. How many would be honest today and say, you know, I really feel the Lord has spoken to me already this morning. And I'm going to take it a step further. I really feel like God is calling me to recommit my life to Him. How many are just saying, you know, I really hear God saying that. And God is calling me to recommit my life to Him. Anybody want to be humble enough to say, I need to recommit my life to Jesus today? Amen. Good for you. You know, the Bible says that God gives His grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. So if you want God in you and in your life, you're going to have to humble yourself. And you're going to have to get into this place called obedience with Him. You're going to start listening to His voice. And if God is calling you to repent of something, you better repent. If God is calling you to recommit your life, you better recommit your life. Why? Because you can't come anytime you want. You come when He's calling you. You don't bebop into a throne room. Amen. You come when you're summoned by a king. And if God is drawing you, God is calling you, I plead with you, don't resist the Holy Spirit. Because God's Spirit will not always strive with men. There is a time and a season for everything under the sun. There is a time to be saved. And there is a season of God's mercy and a season of God's grace where He extends a pardon to you and to me. And it's in that season when God is handing out, amen, the pardon, or lifting His hand towards you, that you and I have to respond to that time. Not just when we think or when we feel like it. A lot of people think, well, I don't want to give up this. I don't want to give up that. And that just means that you're full of yourself. That's a sign that you're not in Christ. When you're in Christ, your affections change. Your desires change. You want to do what pleases God. And when you blow it, you know it. And you feel bad and you want to repent and confess that to God and get it right with God.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
But if that's not in you to do that, then you need to get saved. Did I just say that? We are living in a time of, I believe, of unprecedented rebellion right now. Nobody tells me what to do. Nobody submits themselves to any kind of authority. People want a run amok, do whatever they want. And there's an entitlement mentality, especially in the millennials. Yeah, I'm sorry if you're a millennial. But especially among the generations coming up now, of nobody tells me what to do. Now, God does command us to obey Him. Amen? But what God does not do, hear me now, what God will not do is force you to obey Him. Because God is calling us to a love relationship with Him. It's a relationship. And it's not a relationship if it's forced. But if it's consensual, if it's agreed upon, and I want to enter into this covenant with God and this relationship with Jesus, then that's what the Father is desiring. He wants you and I to be with Him. He wants to share His kingdom with us. But He cannot bless rebellion. And God will actually, hear me, resist the proud. The proud are those who will not submit themselves to authority. The proud who will not listen to God's word. They rebel against it. They say, no, I know what He says, but I choose not to obey what God says. The proud are actually resisted by God. Until we humble ourselves and get into submission under God's mighty hand, there is no hope for you. There is no hope for the rebellious. The rebellious will not be in heaven. Nothing that defiles will be in heaven. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft is saying, I will submit myself to no one. I will be my own God, and I will command, control, manipulate, intimidate, and get people to do what I want them to do so that I will sit as God. And God Himself does not force us against our will. The devil is a hard taskmaster. The devil forces people. The devil intimidates people. If you don't off with your head. If you don't firing squad. But God says, come. Yes. All you who labor and are heavy laden. Yes. Come to me. Yes. Learn of me. Yep. Take my yoke upon you. I'm calling you to a relationship. Make the choice, make the decision, choose this day who you will serve. If He's God, serve Him. You want to serve the Baals, you want to serve the devil, that's also your choice. But God will not force His will on your will. He calls us to a willful, cooperative choice of submitting. Taking my will and submitting it to His. And hear me, in that place of submission, there is safety. Your enemy, the demons, they can't get you as long as you're in submission and under authority. People who are not under authority are always battling demons and not doing very well with it. People who are under God's authority are under the shelter of the Most High. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Tucked away in that place, that secret place of the Most High. Beneath the shelter of His wing. God overshadows the humble. He gives grace to. The humble find mercy. They find pardon. But He resists the proud. The proud are saying, I will not. I choose not to. And God says it's your choice. But understand this, for every choice that we make, there are consequences. And some of them are eternal consequences. People are in hell because they refused God. Oh, they might have gone to church. They might have said a sinner's prayer. But in their choices and their actions, they have denied Christ. Because in works you can deny Him. You have refused His authority in your life. And therefore you became your own God. And you did whatever you thought was right. You ignored the voice of God and you chose to take the wide path of self-will, which leads to destruction. And Jesus said, many go that way. In Matthew 24, verse 12, Jesus said, because lawlessness, and that word in the King James is iniquity, He says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. That word for love is agape. That's the word for God's love. Because of lawlessness, hear me, disobedience, choosing to rebel against God's authority, the love of God in many people will grow cold. And wherever there is rebellion, there is offense. There is betrayal. There is hatred. Offenses lead often to betrayal, and betrayal to literally hatred, to even where brothers and sisters hate each other. It's possible. Because of lawlessness, that the agape of many, he said, will grow cold. The enemy is trying to set a trap for your soul. To get you offended. And one way he does that is by offering you an alternate route. Around the will of God. Not in the will of God, but around the will of God. He'll offer you options that are not according to the will of God. They may even be good things, but they're not the will of God. Jesus didn't just do good things, folks. He did the will of his Father. Because he was under his Father's authority. And because he was under his Father's authority, he had authority on the earth realm. Likewise, when we're under God's authority, we have true authority. And the reason why many people, even in Christendom, never seem to go anywhere. They always sit in the same spot, do the same thing, and never grow, never seem to change, is because of this one fact, is that they have never learned how to really submit themselves to God. And because of the rebellion and their unwillingness to submit to God, God actually resists them, and they stay right where they've been.
That's right.
And God says, it's your choice. Choose to stay. You want to live? Say yes. I want to share my kingdom with you. I want to bless your life. I want your life to be full of love and joy and peace and all the good fruits that are Him. But He gives that grace to the humble. The humble are not weak. It does not mean weakness. Humility means strength under restraint. I can do whatever I want with my life. So can you. God gave you charge of it. But strength under restraint means that I choose not to allow myself to do things that are contrary to what my Father wants.
Yes. Amen.
And even my will, if it's going to contradict what God is telling me to do, guess what needs to win? God's will has to come first. I have to deny myself daily if I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. So Samuel spoke to King Saul, remember, when he disobeyed the word of the Lord? And he said what? Rebellion is as the spirit of, right? Witchcraft. It says witchcraft. So what is witchcraft? Witchcraft basically is counterfeit or illegal use of power. It's counterfeit spiritual authority. It is using a spirit other than the Holy Spirit to intimidate, dominate, control, manipulate other people. That's why people get involved in witchcraft, is because of fear of man. They're insecure, and they're afraid, and they want some control in their life. So they get involved in witchcraft because it promises them power. And it's the same lie. You shall be as gods. And you'll have all these demons at your bidding. You just command them and they'll do what you say, at least initially. Eventually payday comes and they'll require much more than what you got out of it. And eventually your soul. But witchcraft is an illegal use of God's power. All souls belong to the Lord, and all power comes from God. But witchcraft is me living independent of God, but wanting to use or manipulate the use of God's power for my own selfish purposes. Witchcraft is me trying to make a name for myself rather than Jesus Christ. Witchcraft is me trying to use what God has given for the body of Christ to promote and advance myself. Because the Holy Spirit always exalts Jesus. Always points to Jesus. You hear me? He doesn't exalt the messenger. The Holy Spirit exalts the God of the messenger. And the enemy comes in, he slips in, and he tries to get us proud. And he tries to make it about us. Because we want people to like us. Because we fear people. When you're living to please people, it's because you fear people. Saul feared the people and he compromised the word of God and lost his kingdom and lost his life. He was influenced by a spirit of witchcraft, which was an illegal use of his authority to do what he wanted to do in pleasing people and not obey the Lord who called him. Is this making sense? How about this white witchcraft thing? Well, it's just natural. You know, we're using the elements and the powers that be for good. We're not like those black witches, you know, that are hexing and cursing people. We're using, you know, the elements for good. Well, I remember years ago, right? The Wizard of Oz. Every year, how many used to watch it every year, right? Look forward to the Wizard of Oz coming on television. We only had three channels when I grew up. And many times black and white. So I'm dating myself a little bit. But you remember that? And then we thought, oh, that wicked witch of the West. My little pretty. Yeah. Right? So it didn't influence me any, see? Yeah. And then you had, of course, was it Gwendolyn, the white witch? Glenda, see, I guess I didn't. Of the good witch. How many know that all witchcraft is rebellion, and all witchcraft is a use of power illegally? And therefore, it is an abomination, it is detestable to God, and God says no. Why? Because witchcraft is submitting yourself to another spirit, and if it's the devil, and it is the devil, then he's going to use that to eventually destroy you, and in some cases, people will use it to destroy others. A lot of kids get involved in this because they're being bullied at school and they need some kind of power against their enemies. I mean, you know that God is much bigger than the devil. My dad can beat up your dad. My dad is much bigger than your dad. God is the one who created Lucifer in the first place. They're not even in the same league. It's not like the devil and Jesus are in the ring boxing it out. We're talking about the creator versus the creation. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore in his name. To do what? To destroy the works of the devil, right? To make disciples, yeah. To win the lost. To make disciples. But to destroy the works of the devil, just like Jesus did. How about false religions? How about cults? They're using spirits other than the Holy Spirit. And you can tell when a person is operating in a spirit of witchcraft, even in the church, because they are intimidating, yep, manipulating, yep, to control a person, yep, or to get to the top. Many people are looking for ways, okay, to, if you will, to climb the ladder within a local church. And that is what we may call charismatic witchcraft, not charismatic movement, but charismatic witchcraft is people using sometimes their soul power, which is a spirit, amen, your spirit, other than the Holy Spirit, to intimidate, manipulate, using gossip, slander, lies, to get people to do what you want them to do for you, so that you can get ahead. People get into belittlement. Belittlement is a form of witchcraft. Belittlement is slandering and tearing down somebody else, usually behind their back, so that you can lift yourself up.
Right.
That's called self-promotion. And self-promotion will not stand in God's kingdom. God actually says, I resist the proud. He's not with you. You can put yourself in a position through manipulation, but God's not going to be with you. And you're going to live in fear and protectionism because you're trying to hold on to something that you put yourself in. But if you wait on God and you humble yourself and you allow God to promote and advance you, guess what? The devil can't take away what God gives you as long as you remain submitted to Him. I've said this before, but many times when we're growing up, we're always in a hurry to grow up, right? Oh. I heard somebody this morning come in and say, I'm 13 now. You're a teenager. You know what that was. And that's cute. But, you know, it's in us to want to grow up. You know, that's a good thing. Amen. You don't want to be a kids or us kid all your life, right? You want to grow up. And so spiritually, if we're in Christ, we have that hunger, that thirst, that desire in us to become a mature believer. Amen? However, the process of growing up is a work of grace. It must be of the Holy Spirit and not of us trying to promote and advance ourselves by trying to put the attention on ourselves. It has to be you and I saying, God, what can I do for you today? How can I bless you today? How can I serve you? How can I love you back today? How can I be faithful in little today? And not, God, give me this, and God, give me that. And if I don't want to wait for that. You know what I can do? I want to be that deacon first class. I'm going to start whittling away at his character. I'm going to start slandering and speaking ill of and criticizing and picking apart this person so that I can kind of knock them down a few notches. And then I'm going to do it with other people so that they can see that I see something that they don't see because I'm so spiritual. And certainly I need to be in that position rather than them, because if I was in that position, kind of like Absalom, right? And he stood at the gate and he said, man, you guys let me handle these affairs. I can do a much better job than my father, David. What did he do? He used flattery. He flattered the people. He was manipulating for the purpose of dominating. Witchcraft. And so people will do things to get ahead, not just in churches, but in society. What's happening in our political arena? The slander, the belittlement, the tearing down of the other guy to build up you. See, that should be expected of the people in the world, but not in the church.
Amen.
We should understand something. David understood that even though he was anointed of God, Samuel had anointed him, remember? But David had to wait on God's time, and David had to be faithful just to serve and to feed the sheep and learn how to deal with the lion and the bear and some other little tests that were coming along the way, amen, before David would then ascend to the throne. But David had the opportunity, remember, to speed things up by taking out Saul when he had opportunity. But David was a wise man and a man after God's heart. And he said, you know what? I'm going to wait on the Lord and I'm not going to promote myself. God knows when the time is right for me. And you and I need to do the same thing. We need to wait on God and know God knows the right time for us. We just simply need to be faithful and be thankful that God has even allowed us to be a part of His kingdom in the first place. Amen. And out of gratitude, serve the Lord. Amen. And know this, that you may not get much recognition here in this world, but if you've been faithful to Jesus, amen, you've been faithful to walk with Him every day, the day is coming when you will be promoted and advanced in heaven, amen, and God will say, well done, my good and faithful servant, hallelujah. Man may not have seen much of you or heard much from you, but I've seen your heart. I've seen you calling out in those quiet times and praying and interceding on behalf of others because you obeyed me when I called you to pray. Yeah. There's a time, there's a season we got to wait on God. We don't want to get caught up in the spirit of the age. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It is the spirit of rebellion. It is saying we will have no God. I will be God. And that's what's happened. And the nations and the breaking down of authority and these nations that are dissolving around us. Look at the Middle East. I mean, they're collapsing like a house of cards. And what's behind it? A spirit of rebellion. A few elite who want to rule the world. And they want to sit as God. So we create the problem, and then we become the solution to the problem. Manipulation. Spirit of witchcraft. Spirit of the age. Lawlessness will abound. And because of that, there will be offenses, which will turn to hatred. And the love, the agape of many will grow cold. And people will even begin to betray each other, even in the body of Christ. It's happened. It happens. We have to guard ourselves against this. We have to submit ourselves, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may lift us up in due time. 1 Peter 5:6. I'm going to finish with this. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Turn to your neighbor and say, due time. Because what God has called us to do, we're not able to do in our own strength, right? It requires His ability and His power. And God gives His Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. But He resists the proud. You see, a rebellious person can get a spirit, and that spirit can mock, or that spirit can even impersonate the Holy Spirit. And we need the discernment of spirits, don't we? To be able to tell if this is of God or not. So let us be the faithful ones. Let us be the people that say to the Lord, God, I want You to lead me. I want You to guide me. I want You to advance me. I want You to exalt me. But God, I want to do it Your way and in Your time. Just show me what You'd have me to do today with You. And let's just walk together with Jesus daily. Amen. Just be an expression of His heart and His love in this world and be faithful to the body of Christ. Amen. We're here for each other. We're here to build up, to edify, to encourage one another. Amen. And it's very important that we understand that God didn't call us to serve ourselves. Jesus didn't serve Himself. Jesus served others. Likewise, God has called us to serve others, to love others, to bless others. And in doing so, we bless the God, amen, who created them. Father God, thank You today for Your word. Deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. God, break off of us the spirit of witchcraft. Bring us, Lord, to the place where we will be yielded and submitted and under the protective covering of the Lord as we submit ourselves under Your authority. And in that place, God, then we will have legitimate authority. Hallelujah, God. We just give our lives to You. Right where you're at right now, would you just say, Jesus, I want to give You my life again, Lord. I want to recommit my life to You. And God, I ask You to help me. Please forgive me, Lord. and cleanse me from all sin, and wash me in your blood, and fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Give me the ability to live for you, God, to glorify the Lord. Help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you so much.